But it's not like it's being mentioned. Guess what? You should get Bitcoin. But never. Why? You go ahead. What are your thoughts? I know what I think, but...
They're getting on the lifeboats while the rest of us drown. It's just like in the Titanic.
The system is broken. Today's guest is setting it on fire. Burn the Fed creates jaw-dropping videos that rip the mask off the Federal Reserve and make it impossible to ignore the truth. His message? Understand the scam and then opt out. The answer is Bitcoin. Here's Burn the Fed. Stay tuned for the full video. Let's get into it. I want to play your video. I want to show it to people. I'm so, a huge fan of your work. Thank you so much for doing this. This is awesome. And I'm glad you're able to join Riverside on your phone. You know, that's great. You got a quiet house.
Yeah.
So how old are your kids?
I have a 8-year-old, a 6-year-old, and a 5-year-old.
Okay. Yours are similar to mine, but mine are older now. So I have 13, 11, and 9.
Nice. You got three too.
Yeah.
Boys, girls?
2 boys and a girl.
That's exactly what I've got.
Oh, really? Is the youngest a girl? Or mine's my youngest is a girl.
Middle's the girl.
Okay. Yeah. That's cool.
Yep. She does not. She gets the attention that middle children typically don't get. So,
yeah, because she's the girl, so she's going to get dad's attention. My husband actually just got back. They had gone camping, so she got quality time with her dad. So that was super cute. And they just got back, and they know that when I start my podcast, I used to get them out of the house, and I used to have my mom take them, somewhere. And they're like, "We don't want to have to leave the house every time you're doing this." So they just know to be quiet, and they're older, so. They're good about it.
My 5-year-old does not know to be quiet. So.
No, banging around in the background and making noise. I want to show your video. So we're going to start with that because I think that people need to see this. I hope this video reaches a lot of people. So we'll watch it together, if you don't mind. You already know what I think about it in some ways, but then I can give you a little fresh take on it. And so I'm going to go ahead and play that now. All right, guys, you ready for this? This is Burn the Feds. Do you have a lifeboat? Here we go.
In 1910, 6 of the most powerful men in the world held a meeting. This included Senator Nelson Aldrich, Representative Abram Pyatt Andrew, Henry Davison, partner of J.P. Morgan, Benjamin Strong Jr., economist, Frank Vanderlip, president of the National City Bank of New York, and Paul Warburg, heir of a banking dynasty. This group of men secretly met at the Jekyll Island Club, an exclusive club for the elites. Members with big names like J.P. Morgan, William Vanderbilt, and William Rockefeller. During their time at Jekyll Island, they put together a plan to establish the Federal Reserve. This gave bankers the ability to print money on behalf of the U.S. government. And they weren't going to let anyone stop them. John Jacob Astor IV, his family founded the American Fur Company, and Benjamin Guggenheim made his fortune mining and melting metals. Isidor Strauss was co-owner of Macy's with his brother. These three men opposed the plan for the Federal Reserve and were powerful enough to stop it. In 1912, they were to set sail on the White Star Line's newest ship, the Titanic. The White Star Line was owned by a parent company called the International Mercantile Marine Company, owned by J.P. Morgan. Morgan was supposed to be on the Titanic as well, but he canceled his trip. No one really knows why. Astor, Guggenheim, and Strauss all perished April 14, 1912. December 23, 1913, President Woodrow Wilson signed the Federal Reserve Act into law, giving bankers power over our money. Companies like JP Morgan Chase Bank own shares of the Federal Reserve. They know that loaning money to the government is profitable and safer because the loans are backed by taxpayers. The Federal Reserve aims to have a 2% inflation rate, which means they aim to steal 2% more of your money than they did the last time. And they will continue to print more and more until the ship starts to sink. This system creates a cycle where the purchasing power of your hard-earned dollars steadily erodes over time. Meanwhile, those at the top with large asset holdings see their wealth grow as inflation pushes up the value of their investments. The more money that gets pumped into the economy, the wider this gap becomes, leaving ordinary people struggling to keep up. It's a monetary system to secretly siphon the wealth out of a nation. Every time money's printed, it makes your life harder and their lives easier. Your money becomes worth less, and their assets become worth more. This is the answer you're looking for the next time you ask yourself, why is everything so expensive? The elites know a society based on debt will not stay above water forever. That's why they're all getting on the lifeboats while the rest of us drown in inflation.
Crap. Okay. So that's insane. Okay. Hold on. Let me just get back to stop sharing the screen real quick. That is such a good video because where do I start? I mean, I don't know how you feel watching that back after creating it. When you're in creating mode, you're just like watching all the pieces come together slowly and you're just not seeing it like somebody new would see it that hasn't been working on it this whole time. Yeah. But it made me angry. You know, it makes me angry. I've seen it before. I've seen it a few times and it still makes me so angry, like in a good way. Like it fires you up. It's an honor watching it with you. I feel like this is so cool knowing that you're here and you made that. And so it's just an amazing, amazing thing. But I get pissed off. I feel like that anarchy vibe just like fires up in me more. I'm just like, you know, when people have talks of abolishing the Federal Reserve, abolishing the IRS, you see that this was all a scheme. I love that you got real images of these people. I don't know how you did that, but seeing, oh my God, those chops on the one guy, that was crazy. And like, but just seeing them come to life like that, you know, they're not just some old photo of somebody. You actually feel like you're there. You're there. You're seeing it. You feel like you're watching the scheming going on. Of course, we know why JP Morgan didn't go, you know, that makes a whole lot of sense. And these are all things that were conspiracy theories, but a lot of these theories are proven true over time. And it just shows you that there were people fighting against the creation of the Federal Reserve. And you see that you tell everybody who was involved in Jekyll Island. And the fact that you highlighted that in the video makes me want to read it even more. I think a lot of people just don't know the history. So you had to take a lot of time to research all of this. Like, how did you? Okay. So there's so many questions right now. Like, where do we start? First of all, how do you feel like watching that? Do people in your family, are they, I know that you said your wife's a Bitcoiner, but does everybody watch your stuff and are they amazed by it? Or they don't get Bitcoin. They don't really.
They tell me it's cool. So my mom likes it. So I'll just kind of give you the brief history as to how Burn the Fed was created. So growing up, basically the creature of Jekyll Island, any book that kind of pertained in that area of conspiracy theory was basically a nursery rhyme for me. My mom was a full-blown conspiracy theorist growing up, and she taught me all about the Federal Reserve.
Wow, what an awesome mom.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, but she never like did anything about it. Nobody ever did. Like these books have existed for so long.
Yeah.
But that's why I love Bitcoin so much is because like to me, it doesn't feel like Bitcoin is really money. It feels like more of like it's power to the people. It's a weapon to stop all this. And so as soon as I figured out what Bitcoin was, I was just all about it instantly. But so I went with Burn the Fed because
for me, I'm more passionate about just ending the Federal Reserve than I am Bitcoin or anything else, just because of how much evil comes from it. I think Bitcoiners are pretty aware of that. And it's just cool finding a community that's as passionate as I am about ending all these problems and trying to better the world in some way, shape, or form. I think that there's people need to dig down spiritually a little bit more. I don't believe that fixing the money will fix every single thing on this planet, but I think it's a good place to start. So yeah, that's pretty much where it started, was from my mom. And so growing up, I just always had this anger, like what you were saying, towards the Federal Reserve. And I've just always grown up seeing people as slaves. And I've always felt like one myself too. So I try to really, really capture that feeling and show why it's important. And that's my goal, is just to really attack people's emotions when I'm making these videos, because people, when they hear about Bitcoin, they're like, oh yeah, it's a get rich quick scheme or whatever, and they don't see why it's important. And so that's what I'm really trying to focus on, is the problem. And then hopefully these videos spark enough interest that people are like, well, what's Bitcoin? How does Bitcoin fall into all this? And they start studying it, because I believe that you could tell somebody to buy Bitcoin all day long, they could see the price go up, but until they actually understand what it is, they'll never hold on to it the way that they should.
You know, I think that your name is perfect, because it's to the point. It's burn the Fed. They don't need to exist. What is the point of this? This is the whole point of that is, you know, yes, they create this slavery system that we need to rise up against. And there wasn't a tool to do that before. So I love how at the end of the video, you say study Bitcoin, because you're not trying to like throw Bitcoin in there all over the place. You are trying to teach people that there is a problem. And it's something that I thought about your mom teaching you about that book, or like you said, that was a nursery rhyme to you. It reminds me of how, again, these are all just my crazy thoughts, that maybe Satoshi's mom was some mom like yours, and she read him this nursery rhyme that he got pissed off about enough to find a solution. So now we have the solution, and you're out there, same kid that grew up, that's, you know, I want to teach people that there's an issue, right? Not only that there is a problem, but that there is a solution. See, if there was no Bitcoin, you might be yelling to burn the Fed all day, but it's hard because there's no alternative.
Yeah.
Because there is an alternative, you can actually make people aware. And your videos are so powerful in that way, because yes, somebody could come across this as a history lesson. They could see, why is this guy complaining about the Federal Reserve? What is it? You know, they could see that, they find education through this, and that'll lead them to Bitcoin. So you're important because other people's accounts that just have Bitcoin in their title and just straight up talk about Bitcoin right away, people might skip over it. If they don't understand Bitcoin, they just won't even try. But with you, it's like people want to know, I mean, they should know what money is. It's not what they think it is. It's all fabricated to make us think that we trust the government. Like, they wear these suits and they go to work and they like, this is my trustworthy outfit, my costume.
Yeah.
That, you know, but they're really just mobsters. My anarchy vibe resonates with you. I have that mentality because I get mad when I see, like, you have kids like me, and what would they do when they grow up? If this, like you show in the video too, the regular people at the grocery store, the feeling, that sadness, and everybody drowning while they don't give a crap. They're just keep printing money. So how did you get into creating videos? Like, do you have background in film and all that stuff?
No. I've always been pretty socially awkward. I don't know if it's socially awkward. I'm trapped in my own head.
I feel that.
I just, like, when people talk to me and they're like, hey, how are you? I start thinking way too deeply about it. I'm like, does this person even actually care? My mind is just always racing. And I've always had an extremely vivid imagination, and it's kind of like an issue, really. Like, when I'm talking to people, I'm just off in la-la land. So I've always just kind of loved watching movies and exploring stories and stuff like that. But I like to listen to just instrumental music, mainly just because I don't care what people have to speak about in modern music today. But I like the beats and stuff.
I find that really fascinating that you have that type of personality, because I feel like I'm the same way. Like, I'm talkative because I have to for my job. But at the same time, I never felt that way growing up. But I mean, I'm not a storyteller kind of mind like you are, which I think is fascinating when people just hear something and they create an imagine. Like you're a storyteller. And even if you don't always put it on paper, that's how your mind works. A lot of Bitcoiners are like that. But the fact that you also like classical music, it's kind of a common theme, I think, with Bitcoiners, like where you just, yeah, you don't want to hear too much noise. You already have enough noise in your mind. You're trying to make sense of it. And I think hearing music like that helps you do it.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I'll listen to that stuff and eventually I'll hear a song where it just kind of plays out in my head. Like when that song is from NF and he uses a lot of classical instrumental type stuff. And I was just listening
to it. Perfect song for it.
Yeah. I was listening to it and just at the beginning, I was like, that sounds like a ship sinking. And then my mind was just off.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Literally every part of that song, you incorporated it with the feeling of what was going on and the pauses, you know, that happened between scenes. And it was just during a really powerful part. And I love how you use the music to create the story. And that's why it's so powerful emotionally too. Like it really, you do a great job with highlighting those moments in the song where it's a buildup or where it's a quiet part. You know, you just follow the story of the song. So it's just a great vision that you have for this like type of art. Like to figure this out, you have these stories in your mind. And what was the first thing you do? Like before you do any of this stuff, like did you start researching AI, like imagery, like moving images? Like what did you?
So I for this video particularly, started out with a song and like when the piano kicks in, I hear the voice in my head too. And I'm just like in 1910, cause I knew the year that they go and meet and I'm like, yeah, this video could work. But then I actually just got most of my facts, like probably 95% of them from federalreservehistory.org. And I was like, well, I'll just use their own facts against them. So, and that's where a few of the pictures came from. And I saw some of those old pictures while I was on there and I was like, man, this would be really cool if I could find a bunch of old photos. And so I just started scouring the internet for any photo I could. And then I'd have to take it and upload it to AI and say, enhance this photo and make it higher quality. And it would try 19 different times before it finally does what you want it to. And then it does it. And then I can try to finally get it to animate around it, around that. Sorry, my wife had it freezing in here. I'm shivering.
Oh, it's okay. I'm a little cold too, actually. I'm like, oh, I'm wearing a t-shirt.
But so then I have to try to render the video and that can take forever. But Kling just had this new update and it's a lot better. It's not perfect by any means, but I don't have to try 20 times anymore to try to get the shot that I want that's in my head. And so that's been nice on this new project. But yeah, so that's kind of where I go is I just researched all the facts to make sure that everything I was saying was factual, because it's kind of a bold statement to make. And then I just kind of let the facts speak for themselves. I don't want to accuse anything of anybody I can't prove or anything like that. And they're like on my account, if you'll read on there, it says Bitcoin propagandist. So I may have not necessarily bent the truth, but made it in our favor for the story.
Dots,
yeah. So like Isidore Strauss, John Jacob Astor IV, and whoever Guggenheim, I don't remember his first name, but those three men, they were all rich elites too. And they were seeking power for their own personal interests. So they weren't necessarily opposed to central banking in general. They just didn't like their plan that they had. And so they were opposed to that and wanted to stop it. And so they were shot down. But it's still, the point remains that these elites have been killing each other and doing shady stuff behind the scenes for centuries to take advantage of the world. And so that's what I was really just trying to show, but yeah.
And even the voices, like the voice that you used, it's just the perfect voice. I just love the tone. I don't know how you even get AI voices to sound natural. I tried doing a video yesterday for fun. My kids thought it was hilarious. I tried doing a voiceover and for one of my videos for an intro, just to see if it works. And it's the most awkward talking. Like it doesn't sound natural at all. It's so realistic.
Yeah. So the voice is like the hardest part of it all. I have to go through all of that. And then I basically like, I'll type out like
2-3 sentences at a time. And I have to cut out every single individual word and change the speed and
really
the timing of everything for every single word to make it sound so natural. It takes forever. The voice is driving me nuts.
Well, one thing I think that somebody, one of our community members mentioned when I said that I was going to speak to you today, people realize the amount of time you're taking to create these videos. They are very well thought out. Every detail is perfect. Like, you are passionate about it. You know, you could see it. You could hear it. And that's why you create that feeling in people. And people could see that. So one thing we want is for a way to support your project as the Bitcoin Army, to support you. You're not doing this full-time. This is not your job. This is something that you're doing out of passion. And we appreciate the passion and the time that you're putting into this. And it would be nice for people to support you in some way, just to showcase the truth that you're bringing out to the world. And again, it's not Bitcoin in your face, but it's like, hey, there's an issue here and people need to find it. So any way that we can either share your work or support you, because you're putting your time into this and you're doing an amazing job. So that's something that people would love to contribute to, because we see that you are, you know, it's valuable, you know, time is valuable, and you're doing this because you want to share your, you know, your storytelling, your vision and your truth, you know, with everybody. I just wanted to say that because we do appreciate what you do, and it's incredible.
Yeah. I can't believe you guys even like them. I was just making videos just to make them at first. I was like, I want to make a Bitcoin commercial, and I made it, and you guys just have been so amazing. I've had people donate and stuff, and that's not why I do it, of course. And I think you guys all know that, but I have been trying to work on ideas of how to like monetize this a little bit better, because by the time I pay for the X premium and all that, I barely make anything off of that. And I'm too busy making the videos to be on X enough to even make money off of X.
True.
So it is what it is. I genuinely enjoy doing it. So I've thought about maybe trying to like make some merch that says like break free, study Bitcoin, burn the Fed, stuff like that, to kind of like, I don't know, just kind of go along with each video. And if somebody wants to support me, they can buy some merch that way or something like that. I don't want to just take people's money just because I'm asking for it. I'd rather have some kind of proof of work behind it. You know what I mean?
Your videos are in the Bitcoin community. You are up there. Like, you should be, like, I could see in this next wave, it could be possible that you're like, all right, now I'm making enough money off of this where this could be, I would love for this to be your job, because this is what you should be doing. You should be creating videos full time. Like, and because you're passionate about it, it doesn't feel like work. It feels like something you know, you enjoy. You just think, you talk to a person and you're already thinking of a story, you know, so you're just taking the time to put it down and create it. So this would be, you know, my hope for you. And I know it's your hope too, is to do something you're passionate about and not have to feel like a slave and do a job that you have to do just to get by, as they keep stealing it from you. And it's the worst feeling. It's like, even if you might like your job, you think, okay, how much harder am I working every year for less purchasing power? So it's just disgusting. And when you know that these people are just thieves, it's, you want to share that. So it would be nice. And I know that this next cycle could create a lot of new opportunities for people. And I just have that vision for you. And I know a lot of people do. So we, you know, wish you the best with this and keep going. But yeah, it's something that is a talent that you don't see a lot. Even with my podcast, I feel like the support is crazy, because I created the first show thinking, okay, well, anyone even join me? Is anyone going to want to talk about Bitcoin with me and stuff? I'm not a financial or tech person, but people are enjoying it. So when you see that people love your work, it gives you more energy, more fire to go and make another, create more and just keep doing it. Because if nobody cared, you'd probably be like, all right, I just did that. That was fun. But you'd probably still do it as a hobby, you know, but it just pushes you forward. It's like people's excitement and people sharing their excitement and telling you're doing a good job. It does really help. It's like we all energize each other. So it's a powerful community in that way.
Yeah, for sure. I really like, every time somebody says, like, these are amazing or something like that, my first thoughts are like, oh gosh, how am I going to top that? And so like, I'm always trying to like get better and better.
Well, your last video, you made that one around the Super Bowl and talking about sports and distractions and how, you know, I love that idea. That video was amazing too. And then you probably thought, how am I going to top it? And then yeah. you made this one. But that whole idea of distraction, I love, because I always think that every time something's going on, even when it comes to this, I don't know what your thoughts are about this, but you probably would agree because you're into the whole, you know, they'd like to distract us with stuff. But how the Diddy trial is coming up in this month, I think it's supposed to be happening. But it's so interesting to me that he got arrested, what, a year, less than a year, somewhere around there. And they pushed the date till now. Why now? And I think about it like the Fed, like the markets, you know, the tariffs, they knew Trump was going to do this with tariffs. The markets have been crashing as expected, you know, because things are shifting right now and they want to put pressure on the Fed to lower interest rates. So when interest rates get lowered, usually that's when the flood of money comes to the systems and these people enrich themselves more and it creates more worthless money. So it seems to me like it's long overdue for the interest rates to get cut. It will be happening soon. The pressure will be on the Fed. And I think that's why, like, in a way, it's Diddy. It's such a big deal thing. Let's distract people with this trial while we print endless more money into the system so people aren't paying attention to that or Bitcoin or anything.
It's all it ever is. It's just always a distraction while they're printing money every time. Once you see it, it's like laughable. It's, wow, the scam is so simple, really. They're just printing everybody's wealth away into their own pockets. But,
and the media is all involved in that too, because it's even with those weather balloons, China and weather balloons, and everyone pay attention to that while other stuff's going on in the world that you're not paying attention to. So everyone could just stay distracted with either sports or whatever the media is telling you to focus on. And it is laughable. Like, and it's not like we can stop them from doing that, but we can opt out with Bitcoin and just join a better, true system that can't be stolen from. So we're just over here sitting like, yeah, it's sad for people that don't understand it. You know, it sucks, and we want people to learn, but you can't force people, but you can show them the problem, which is why Burn the Fed. I can't. The name, every time I see the name, I'm just like, I'm like, burn it. Yes, burn the Fed.
Yeah, I'm very big on, like, I don't know, Apple has been like a very impactful company to me in my life, just watching the iPhone take off the way it did growing up. And I always kind of felt like one reason that they always kind of stayed such a dominant company is not because of their product, but just because of their image, and everything is clean and there's no extra bells and whistles. Everything's just a clean, elegant design. And so I really try to like copy that a little bit. And so, like, when I made my username, absolutely can I not have any extra numbers or letters or anything like that in my name. Burn the Fed was the one that hit, and I was like, all right, sweet. Kept it. But yeah, I like it a lot too.
It's awesome. And I like that it's not End the Fed, it's Burn the Fed.
Yeah, I'm a bit of a passionate person, we'll just put it that way.
I thought you were gonna say I'm a bit of a pyromaniac. That's what I thought you were going
No. Maybe when I was younger,
okay,
but not anymore.
I was like, I heard the P sound and I'm like, where is he going with this?
Yeah.
But you even had, I think in another video, you had a fire, like a flaming, you know, building. And I was like, that's so cool. You know?
Yeah, that'll be in this next one too.
And the next one you're doing about, you have a preview of it. The one you're working on now, it's about like the rat race.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm struggling with it because the visuals are really awesome. Like, it's definitely not there yet, but in about a year or two, like, companies like Pixar and stuff, I don't know what they're going to do. Like, I'm that amazed with this update. And
yeah, all those images, and it was insane to see that. Like, I don't know how you created that. It's for people that you should check out. Well, you don't have it posted yet or anything because you're working on it. You showed a preview on X on your profile.
Mm-hmm.
But it is, yeah, it's like people working every day, like taking care of their family, but they're rats. You know what I mean? It's like you made them, and then it completely just shows you, like, in a metaphorical way, how people feel going through life. And the creation of that, and however you did that, you're right. It's like AI is, 4 years ago, we didn't have it. I don't think people use ChatGPT or any of this stuff. And 4 years later, we have, everyone's using it for everything. So you're right. These big companies, like, that need to have a ton of employees to create art, it's not going to be necessary. It's crazy to think how that'll.
Like, there will always be the need for, like, the creative mind to kind of instruct and guide it. But And I get it. I get a lot of comments on my videos. They're like, oh, this looks like crap. It's AI. I hate AI. And I think it's a lot of like artists that are threatened by it. And sure, some of the images aren't that great yet. I agree with them. But
I think they're awesome. So people are haters.
Yeah. So it's, I don't know. I just think that a lot of people are scared of the change that it can bring. But there's going to be a lot of jobs that are created through that too. Just like, I don't know, one thing that I think of as an example is like shipment, like in China and stuff, all the shipment is fully automated. And here with the unions that try to stop it, they prevent any innovation in the shipment yards from happening to protect their jobs. But if they automate it, jobs would be created by maintaining those machines and servicing them. I'm not a big fan of that argument that people make, but AI, I think that AI is pretty cool because it gives me the tools that I didn't have before. Like, I've always wanted to make videos and one day a movie, and I can't without a team of 30 people to help me render and create everything with CGI and all that. So I love that AI has given that ability to people. I'm all for it.
I'm not afraid of it either. Like, when I learned about Bitcoin in 2020, one thing that kind of made me think a little bit about how we're lied to so much is this documentary on Netflix called, what the heck is it called? The Social Dilemma. I was not worried about the future as much after seeing it, because it was talking about how the most important resource today that's being mined, which I do think it's Bitcoin, you know, that's the most important asset being mined. But the most important resource is attention, human attention. And people don't realize how valuable that is, because during COVID, when all these businesses were struggling and people didn't have business, the tech companies were making a killing. They made so much money compared to everybody else losing money. And that was because when everyone's staying at home, not being able to do anything, they were able to get, you know, marketing companies are able to market to you more because somebody is selling your data. A tech company is selling your data to somebody who wants to figure out how many men in this age range can we, you know what I mean? Like, the more they know about you, the more they could pinpoint who they want to target, right? So your attention is something that they're selling. So what made me realize the way the future will be shaped is when I got a check in the mail from Facebook, and it just kind of clicked for me that, like, wow, after seeing that documentary, I was like, people, all the time we spend online, whether it's YouTube, Google, X, whatever thing you do online, that they know where you go, what you do, what you like to research, any platform that's on the internet, right now somebody's benefiting off of your data. But I think the future, if it is trending towards decentralization, your data will be yours to benefit from. Like, all the tech companies, like, everyone's going to be making so much more money because of AI and technology, that money can then go to the people. So I think that there's definitely, even if you're not working at Pixar or if you're not working at a company that it no longer needs you to do this one job, I think the future will be, hey, you're spending time online anyway, now you get paid for it instead of these billions and millions of dollars going to people that don't own your, it should be yours. It's your data. It's your information. So you should get paid. So I think that's where things are headed in that way too, which is really cool.
Yeah. As long as Bitcoin wins, then I think that we'll head that way. If not, then they'll still just control everything and take everything. And that's why I'm so adamant about Bitcoin. But yeah, like, kind of like what you were saying with it'll add more jobs and stuff. Like, think about like celebrities, like they'll be able to basically clone themselves digitally and then sell that likeness so that people can download Tom Cruise and use him for their videos. You know what I mean? And it's going to be a pretty neat future, honestly. Yeah. I'm pretty excited for it.
I know, it's crazy. And we really can't imagine it. Like, we can't imagine how things get changed. Like, do you know, my dad was always very forward thinking. So I remember him telling me when I was younger, he was always telling me that one day you're going to be able to look at the person that you're talking to on the phone while you're talking. And I'm like, wow. And you know what I imagined? Like, my storytelling brain, the way that I thought of it, I was picturing, like, you know, the movie Back to the Future. I don't know, like, they're in an office. Like, you know, I just figured, like, okay, it's a futuristic time. They're sitting in their office and they have a telephone with a landline and a screen pops up. Yeah. And then you're talking, you pick up the phone or something, and then the screen is there and you're like, whoa, I can see you while I'm talking to you on this phone with a cord. And that's what I thought the future was going to look like. I was like, whoa, you're going to be able to go to your office and talk to somebody when the phone rings? But I'm like, no, now we're carrying around the entire internet and all of world's information and every song ever made and every book ever made and everything in this little tiny device that we can talk to without being corded. It's way more than I imagined as a kid. Like, I thought, I'm like, wow, that's crazy to think that's how the world will be. And look how much more it is. Yeah. So we can't picture it. It's crazy.
Yeah. Technology is exponential. So it's, I think that we're at that point where it's just going to take off here soon, where technology is going to leave humans behind, honestly, in about 30, 40 years. I don't think we're going to be able to keep up with it without doing that crazy crap that Elon Musk talks about with merging with AI and all that. But
right.
That's so scary.
I
mean,
what do you think about that? I want to talk to somebody about that. I haven't just, nobody, not a lot of people know about Neuralink. And I have some thoughts. I have scared feelings. I also have kind of like, I think it's kind of cool, but it's also scary at the same time. So it's like,
I think that line in Jurassic Park where you're so focused on whether you could, you didn't ask if you should. I think that line is going to be very relevant for a long time in our futures. I don't know. I think it's cool. Like if someone's paralyzed and it can reconnect neurons and everything and help them walk or whatever it's doing, that's great. But making our bodies hackable and everything else is not a good idea.
Here's where I'm going with that. Making our bodies hackable, right? Who is going to implant a device, right? Because it reminds me of Black Mirror or some kind of shit like that. So if you're going to put this thing in your head, even if it's like, oh, I'll be more productive. I don't have to hold my phone all day. I'll be able to. But I think that, you know, when you think about a company owning it, like X or somebody specific or Neuralink, just whoever owns it in specific, they can show you ads every time if you don't pay extra money and you're like, oh, I didn't get the upgraded version where I'm paying a lot of money every month. Now I have to see an ad every 10 seconds in my brain or something. So it's like, or, and you could be fed information. Like right now, media, you know, feeds you certain ideas and things if you don't have critical thinking for yourself. So it's like, you don't want some company or a corporation controlling how you believe the world is, like, and be, and not have any sort of thoughts of your own because you're just being shown what they want you to see. But again, when it comes to Bitcoin, if Bitcoin wins, which I believe it is winning and it will, but if Bitcoin wins and things like this get built into Bitcoin, that's why I think the only way to make things safer is that if a company isn't controlling you, like you can't lose free will. Like free will is the ultimate. I mean, that's what Bitcoin gives you. It gives you freedom, right? So you don't want to put something in your body that now you lose your own creativity. You lose your own ideas and your own, you know, you don't want to be shown what to think, you know? So I think that it would be very important for things to be somehow, even though we can't fathom how, I don't even know anything about technology, so I don't know how it would work, but how Bitcoin could be a base layer for a lot of this stuff.
So I feel like Hollywood, this is my crazy conspiracy theory brain going,
yeah,
but I feel like one generation is born growing up watching a certain thing on TV, and then eventually that thing is brought to their adulthood, and it's just a rinse and repeat cycle of that to eventually, like, because you'll never get Susan down the street that's 70 years old to put a chip in her brain. She'll be like, absolutely not, you know, but her granddaughter probably would. And so I think it's just like a frog in the pot, boiling water thing where it's just, they slowly do it over time and just get you adapted to it. And then it's just a small feature at first, and then they add more features. And the next thing you know, you're trapped.
And also for the person that, let's say she wouldn't do it, but her granddaughter would. But then what if it's the granddaughter who takes her grandmother in because she doesn't know any better and she's got Alzheimer's. So it's like, hey, guess what? You're getting it anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to make you get it. So you don't know any better. So that could be a possibility. But then the reason that it also, if it in a way, I think I'm just trying to dissect my own thoughts on this, but I think in a way, if Bitcoin, I think because Elon always talks about how he's scared of AI so much, like he's always been so scared of it. And recently he had even posted, like he recently posted that we're at the singularity, not that we're entering it soon or in the next 10 years. He said we're at the singularity. So for him to say that, for being somebody who's not only developing AI, but for somebody who is doing this Neuralink thing, and he's talked about merging with AI in order to have it not want to get rid of humans because now we are part of it. So I think that's like his ultimate, like, hey, if AI knows that it's integrated with humans and now we are not some useless primate to AI, it won't think that we should be exterminated or something like that. It won't like be like, hey, people are so dumb, let's get rid of them because they all fight all the time and anyway. And like, you know, this is causing problems, so we're going to get rid of it. So I think, yeah, his idea is if people merge with it, because it's like unstoppable, that it won't find us useless and slow.
Yeah, imagine being able to like mentally enter a video game like The Matrix, basically. You know, they'd be all about that. I can feel it.
What? Or Ready Player One, you know?
Yeah.
Like in a way, I was a gamer for, you know, in 2020, I was playing a lot of video games and actually only one video game, but playing it often. But it just, it made me feel like, yeah, that would be awesome to feel like you're in there, you know? But at the same time, I was playing Fortnite. I still play it, but.
I play it with my kids. It's a fun game. Yeah. I'm not good at it.
I'm not the greatest. I'm okay, but I'm not good. Like, you know, but we had so much fun during COVID. Like we started playing it to show our kids how to play. And then they got really into it. Then we got really into it. And then after they would go to bed, we would just stay up playing video games and, you know, talk with our friends and then would get online and we would just play and laugh. You know, my husband always cracks me up and he makes fun of me and I think it's hilarious. So we just had a good time together.
Yeah, my son got us into, not a big fan of the company Disney, and they've gotten more money than I'm happy about, but he started playing this card game. It's like Pokemon, but it's called Lorcana. And me and my wife ended up getting more into it than our kids are now. So we've got like, yeah, we've got all these cards and we play every night and it's a fun game. It's just,
but it's not a video game.
No, it's like, have you ever heard of Magic the Gathering?
Yeah, I've heard of it.
It's like that, but it's like Disney themed. So it's like Cinderella and Robin Hood and it's weird, but it's fun.
Well, it is. It's fun when you could actually do something together. And it's funny because your kids, like, do they tell you, like, you guys are still playing that?
Yeah. Yeah. They're like, you guys play this more than we do. And you're like, we got into it because of you.
I know. Well, that's why when we would play Fortnite, our kids are like, you guys play every night. We're like, so what?
Yeah.
And we would just stay up and just, like, hang out, you know, and it's, and I would always randomly, like, be, like, looking at my phone and my husband's like, stop going on X. You know, you're always looking at Bitcoin stuff. I'm like, I know, but I just saw some news about Bitcoin. And I would always, you know, just talk about it. And it was always really fun because I was like doing a lot of my research, you know, plus playing video games. And I'm like, it was like my big orange pilling time, you know, so definitely had lots of research. But
COVID is when you got orange pilled?
It was in 2020. That was when I, again, watched that Social Dilemma. I had a cousin who talked to me about Bitcoin a lot, but I just never really listened. And then when we got the stimulus checks, I started wondering on my own. It wasn't really related to Bitcoin. It was related to kind of your idea because, you know, teach people the problem, then they find out that there's a solution, right? You got to show people what the problem is. But I think for me, I was just wondering, I was worried because my small business was closed during COVID and we were receiving these stimulus checks. And I started looking up like, how many checks can the government give out? Will this be something that continues? And how many will people be receiving? I don't know who was the Fed chair, that guy that has no hair, the bald guy.
There is an infinite amount of cash at the Federal Reserve. We will do whatever we need to do to make sure that there's enough cash in the banking system.
The crazy eyes, you know?
Yeah, he looks like a psycho.
Yeah. Eyes wide open and like insane. But yeah, I think I saw that video and I was like, actually realized, wow, there is no limit. And I'm like, that's it. Like that was the moment for me. And then I really was like, okay, I need to start buying some of this just as a savings account, you know? And it was, yeah, so I think July of 2020 was when I bought Bitcoin for the first time. And I remember it being a scary feeling, thinking like, what am I even doing? Cause I didn't really know about it. I just thought I'm buying something that like, is it going to be like, again, is it going to drop more from today? Is it going to go like down a ton? Like it's so expensive because everyone thinks they're buying it at such an expensive price because again, you're like, is this thing going to die, go to zero, whatever. But the more you learn about it, you realize that it's the safest place to store your money because nobody can steal it. A lot of Bitcoiners I've talked to have either said they're obsessive or they're ADD in some sort. And I know I'm ADD. So I think sometimes that's like a gift to be able to think outside the box and find Bitcoin.
Yeah.
So, and I think that's kind of a common theme between Bitcoiners, because even you talking about the classical music thing, I find myself that calms me down too, not hearing a whole bunch of words and talking. Like you need something that kind of like, again, it tells you a story when you're listening to it just by hearing the feeling in the song. So it's just crazy.
Yeah. I want to touch up on that. You were talking about how you're looking for a solution to not be robbed. And that's kind of what I want to, once I get done with this rat race video, I want to try to like really try to capture that. I want to do like another Super Bowl, like an actual formal commercial again, try to pitch it as like a not get rich quick scheme, but a not get stolen from scheme, because that's really what it is. But I don't know how to go about that one yet. I'll have to hear the song first and it'll hit me.
But I think that my idea about that, it kind of always kind of ties into the fact that when people say what, and I don't know if me just telling you my thoughts here would have any sort of inspiration or any sort of something click for an idea for you. But so that's why I'm just thinking, let me just tell you my ideas. But when people ask, what is Bitcoin backed by? Because they think it's not backed by anything. I'm like, pretty much, I think of Bitcoin like a giant shield that defends these people from doing the shit that they do and play their stupid games and create more of something so that it could be worthless, you know? So it's like a giant global shield, like the mining power, and it protects whatever time and energy you're putting into working. So it's like all the time you spend working. So
you say, and that just makes me go full blown Michael Saylor cyber hornet.
Yes, right? The swarm of cyber hornets. That's what it is. It's so great. It feels like that. It's like a, like, don't come near, like, we can't get through this shield. And people don't understand that the global power is so massive now, and they don't understand that, you know, governments haven't been able to take it down. So now they embraced it. You know, it's like a whole different time, you know, we're living in. We're not living in a time where they're like, we're going to convince people that it's terrible. And that's kind of one of the like conspiracies I want to kind of talk about too, in a way, is the fact that you don't hear anyone still talking about the Bitcoin price that's like a regular person, because I think so much of media and the distraction stuff that happens is, hey, now the governments have embraced it. Now it is in the stock market. Now countries are adopting it for their strategic reserve. All this stuff is happening, but yet no one hears about it in the regular world because it's not on purpose told to everybody. Because I think like the whole shift that's happening is something where it's like, hey, we'll all have it. Whoever already has it, cool. But we're not going to promote it to everybody saying like, oh, yeah, guess what? The government and BlackRock and all these people like Bitcoin. You should get some too. No, they're just going to be like, let's just not talk about it in the media ever, really, except unless you're watching CNBC and you see the ticker sometimes or a random person on there. But it's not like it's being mentioned. Like, it's like, hey, guess what? You should get Bitcoin. Like, it's not, never. Why? And it's, you go ahead. What are your thoughts? I know what I think, but
they're getting on the lifeboats while the rest of us drown. It's just like in the Titanic.
Exactly. So it ties both of your videos together because it ties the distraction, you know, along with the lifeboat.
Yeah. So that's not all that I think. I think that, like, literally the day that BlackRock, I remember it was January 10th. I sat on my bed and got depressed when BlackRock announced the ETFs, just the filing for it. No, they got approved on January 10th, but they announced it. And I was got out of the shower and read the tweet. And I was like, oh, no. And my wife's like, what? I was actually like, somebody died. And I was like, we're never going to get to a full coin. And she's like, what do you mean? I was like, BlackRock wants Bitcoin now. And like, from that point on, like, I felt like the 2016, 20, that whole cycle, when we went up to $69,000, I really felt like FTX and everything like that was just like, we've got to stop this now and we've got to buy as much as we can before it takes off. And I feel like they're still in that process. And now governments are getting involved. Banks are now going to get involved. And we're at that point where we've all been talking about for the past 16 years, the slowly, then suddenly. That's why I keep tweeting it. Like, it's happening right now. And I've only been around since 2017. But reading all of those people's, all the Maxi's tweets and stuff through the past and everything. They were fortune tellers. They were so right.
Yeah. They were so right, even from the moment that Satoshi hid his identity, the very first second he, you know, it's like, how did he know that this would be this big and people would care this much? And he knew how important it was to hide. Like, people knew for so many years, like, so convicted.
Yeah, that's what sometimes when people will, they'll tweet out it was made by the CIA and stuff. I'm like, maybe it was. Like, it's just such a weird story. It's like too good to be true.
Yeah, and it could be because you think, like, if it was made by the CIA, it's like maybe because look at how the Federal Reserve has become this global, like, god, pretty much. Like, they're like, Jerome Powell is now the king of the world. He could decide what everybody, like, how the Fed interest rates go and how that impacts the whole globe. So it's like, who made him king? We can't get rid of him. We can't get rid of the Federal Reserve because they're blocked by judges. So maybe the CIA, it's like, yeah, some kind of thing that's like, guess what? This system, the Jekyll Island, the creation of the Federal Reserve, was this
fucked up thing that happened and we need to get rid of it somehow. So it's like, it does kind of make sense. Maybe it was like a combination of things. Maybe it's like, let's just put this in there and let it spread so that we can take out this enemy that we can't really get rid of. Cause it just seems like it's so deep rooted with bureaucracy and with judges and with people that won't allow, like, why can't we all just be like, hey, guess what? Screw this, burn the Fed.
Yeah. And that's what I'm really struggling with ending my video with the rat race is because I've got a scene where it's like a montage where it goes back and forth with showing the rat going to work and showing the Federal Reserve with like a bunch of like, they're not zombies, but they're like a bunch of like poor rats in front of the Federal Reserve acting like zombies kind of. And it eventually flashes to showing the Federal Reserve burning and showing people burning dollars. But I'm trying to like figure out exactly how to explain just through visuals alone, because I'm not sure if I'm going to narrate this video or not, but try to explain that like all we have to do is just buy Bitcoin. Just if everybody just every single day just bought Bitcoin, I was like, no, I'm not doing this anymore. There's an option out there that you guys can't stop. It all ends. Like, it just doesn't even matter. We don't need anyone to say no more. We can do it ourselves. And I'm trying to figure out how to do that in the last 45 seconds, but it's very difficult.
Maybe like how they talk about Bitcoin being like how you, it's a lifeboat, right? But it's also a door. Like, it reminds me of, okay, maybe idea here. You don't have to use it. I'm just throwing stuff out there. But you know, the Truman Show. So like at the end where he climbs those stairs and takes the door out of that fake world and leaves. You know, so I feel like that's kind of like maybe like some kind of door, some kind of like escape hatch, how they call Bitcoin an escape hatch, or like just opting out of the system and just being like, well, we're going to go here instead. Like, we're going to leave this stupid clown show of the situation.
Truman Show came to mind, but what I was trying to do that was like, I was trying to get it to like zoom out from like a street view and go up to the sky, like a top down view of the streets, and like show like a rat maze with like rats in the maze. But I can't get AI to do it. So I've been working on it.
That's super smart, because people talk about a lot of times that when you are in that system, you don't see it. But when you zoom out or when you see a different perspective, if you could just fly, right?
Yeah. And you just could see it all. You could see the whole path.
That's really, really good. Yeah, you got to figure out how to get AI's got to get on that. Maybe it's going to keep improving as the days go by. So you'll finally get it to do what you want. That's awesome. That's a great
idea.
See.
There's a way to where you can like, so what I do is I have to get the first image exactly what I want for the scene. And then like sometimes I'll Photoshop certain things in there and stuff. And like on this next one, there'll be a lot of stuff in the background, like a lot of Bitcoin logos and stuff you probably won't notice unless you pause each frame. But I just think it's cool. So I'm just doing
it. Liminal almost, right?
Yeah.
Nice. Hey, they do it to us all the time. You can subliminal some other people.
Exactly. That's kind of what I'm doing. Like I said, I'm a Bitcoin propagandist.
Yes. That's amazing.
Yeah. So there's a way to like take like a, sorry, my phone just fell.
Oh, it's
an opening shot, and you can like click like a ending frame as well. So you can put a picture there and you can try to get it to like meet in the middle, but they don't have that feature on the new update yet, so I haven't tried it yet. I might be able to get it to still work out, but
this is fun.
Yeah,
it's fun. It's crazy how when you're like such a creative person, like you said, you're like, oh, I'm not like on X that much to monetize because you're too busy creating. Like, you're too busy creating this awesome stuff. You have to put in the time to do that. And then when you share it, it's just like a magical, like, I, you know, this masterpiece came together. It's like a gift for everybody. It's going to be awesome to see it together. And I love the maze idea. I think that's going to be, I can't wait to see how you get it done. I'm sure you will. But yeah, that's really cool. And I don't know if I had another thought about, but I'm sure, yeah, you're going to keep having thoughts. Like, look at how you thought after the lifeboat one, even after the distraction sports, you know, the one you did. It's like, you've done other videos before that. You know, it's like you always think, how am I going to top this? And then again, a song comes to you or just something someone says, you know, even if something you see on X, like just any kind of, you know, inspiration, you get it all around.
Yeah.
It's nice that you have this kind of mindset to create it.
Yeah. So I'm also trying to like, one day, my dream is to maybe one day make a movie, like an actual real Hollywood budget movie. I've had this idea in my head for the past 20 years and it'd be awesome. But, it's like a sci-fi, weird Mad Max type movie. Anyways.
Do you see my face? I'm freaking out. I'm like, I feel like one day, it's 2025 right now. It's just, I could like see us like going back to this video one day and be like, remember when you said you wanted to make movies one day and it was your dream? And then, cause when I was watching that, that video that I showed that we, you know, your creation, the Lifeboat one,
mm-hmm.
I felt like I was watching like an amazing movie. Like it's like, this was like, but it was like a short movie, but it felt like I saw this whole story unfold and it was so impactful, like a movie. And it was like literally like how a great song, like a, you know, instrumental classical music, like a song is like a symphony, like one really great creation from beginning to end with like a up and a down, whatever. I think that that's how that video felt to me, but just, it was just that, like the length of a song, like a compressed, you know, but it was a movie. It was like, to me, I was like, that's better than actual movies you watch, you know? So it's just like, it did feel like that to me. And I could see you doing a full size movie. It would be just crazy one day to like refer back to this, be like, look, I did it. I actually made a movie.
It'd be freaking sweet.
Super Bowl ad or whatever. And that was just like an app that said it was AI videos, and mm-hmm. I made it. It was like the first Bitcoin video I ever made, and it was terrible, so I didn't touch it again for like a year and a half. But then I started seeing like the videos for Sora coming out and all this stuff, and I was like, man, I want to get into all this.
Like 4 years ago, you wouldn't have been able to do any of this.
No.
So imagine 4 years from now, like I feel like your software that you use, your AI tools that you use, they're going to be like, oh yeah, we remember you. Hey, welcome back for another video. And they learn your style. And it'll almost be like, hey, now I could pump some ideas out because it just knows what I'm talking about. Like it'll actually be like, okay, yes, I'm on board. It learns you. It almost is like, you don't have to put in the prompt because now I know what your style is. I know what you like to create every time. So how do you like this version? So it's almost going to, I think it could be easier for you to create the stuff because the thing learns with you and starts to, I don't know, maybe remember how you are and how you create. So it'll be like, you know, a time saver. So I think that would be interesting.
That would be awesome.
I'm sure that'll be possible. Yeah.
That'd be awesome. Your channel's taken off pretty good. You've got like, what, 300 subscribers now?
Yeah.
Congrats.
Yeah. Thank you.
I've been trying to keep tabs on that. My YouTube, nobody's giving me any love on YouTube. It's all on
I think that, I don't know. I think it helps with, I mean, the community support is great. Like as far as my husband, cause he was like a big reason for this. He encouraged me to do it. But he watches a lot of, podcasts and different things. And he was the one telling me that YouTube likes algorithms. So, I think when you have like a regular schedule of posting, oh, you know what? You should create shorts out of your clips because I see on my analytics for YouTube that a lot of my views, like I think some of them come from subscribers, but like over half of the new people that come to my channel are from shorts.
I have my kids and my wife and everybody watch my videos before, and I send it to our little group chat, you know, mm-hmm. and I try to take everybody's opinion and like kind of put it to a vote, but still I have the ultimate say, so I don't go with my gut type of thing, but like, it's just neat because like when I think it was in the group chat, I think it was Satoshi Skywalker for one of my videos. He was like, you don't have to fade it on every transition. And like now I don't do that at all. And I just, it's a straight transition for every video. And I think it actually looks way better. And so
that's a good idea.
It's nice to have an outside perspective sometimes listening to people, but you got to trust
your gut too. Yeah, you definitely do. Like if you really think something and they're just like, cause you have to be able to filter out noise, you know, if you think it's like a good thing to do or not, mm-hmm. but it's nice that you have a group of people or a community that are real people you could talk to about this stuff that will actually take the time to watch it because they're interested in this and give you feedback that they know that they're not going to be afraid to tell you if they have a suggestion, because you're not going to be pissed off about it and be like, I hate you now because you didn't say it was perfect, you know? Yeah. So it's like, we know that we're just all trying to support each other because we care about this joint passion.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's just what's awesome about it. Like, it's nice to have different perspectives, you know? And that's why I love having all of these people on. I love having you on to, you know, hear, I mean, I can't believe you're even doing this like from not being a filmmaker or something. Like it seems like you should, you're already doing this and you just decided to make Bitcoin videos or something.
I'm not a very confident person, never been cocky about a single thing, but that is one thing mm-hmm. I've always just been like, Like, I watch a movie and I'm like, this is garbage. I could do way better than this. And I'm like, everybody's like, oh, yeah. And I'm like, yeah, I know I could. That's the one
well,
thing.
Even I think, I don't know what it was, but my husband showed me a video. What was it? It was, I think, like a food. It was somebody's restaurant. And it was like a highlight reel of things at their restaurant. And he was showing me, I don't know if it was somebody we knew. I don't remember what, but he was showing me this video. And I was like, wow, these edits are really bad. I was like, this is like the best like clips they found to put this. He goes, this is actually the news that shared it. And I was like, holy crap. Like that, I thought that was someone's like personal page where they just put together a clip and it was done. Cause it was just like the worst parts. You know, I'm like, why did you put that in there? Why did you not like, I don't know. Like, and because I've been editing lately, I'm like, I could have done a better job at that. But knowing it was like some kind of like local news channel, yeah. I'm like, why is that happening? Like, there's nobody better at doing this. Like my husband said, the one clip they showed, he pointed it out. It was like the guy was making a hot dog and there was a hot dog laying on the counter. I'm like, that's the clip you chose to use. Like, don't use that one. That looks so dirty. That's disgusting. Hilarious. Yeah.
That's
it's
so
like
funny.
Nasty hot dog.
I've been meaning to ask you this question because you and I both pretty much started like putting ourselves out there and content and stuff around the same time. Has Bitcoin became like, because it has to me, but has it became like almost more important to you since you started doing this? Because like now it feels like you're contributing to the community and actually like being involved with trying to help Bitcoin grow and move forward. That's the way I feel. It's not that I'm proud of it or feel responsible for any progression Bitcoin's made. Like Bitcoin's just perfect. So it's going to progress either way, but I don't know.
But
I've been meaning to ask you that question. Like, I don't know. I feel more passionate about Bitcoin since I've started doing this. But.
Well, I have, I have goosebumps. Like I'm actually like, it is a great question. This is the perfect time. It just like lined up for us to be doing this at the same time, because before, again, it was this diminished market because of the institutions wanting to mute the market, attack it, choke point 2.0, all that stuff that happened. And I do feel the same way as you, like they wanted to mute this market so that they can get in on it too and get these ETFs going before it really takes off. I think it's just like meant to be that we're doing this at this time. I feel, and that's why it feels important, because yes, we are contributing to it and every little piece matters. Even if it's not, even if Bitcoin is going to do what it's going to do, it does it because people care. I'm even going to my first Bitcoin conference this year. I've never been to one. Me and my husband are going in May. And I feel like that is another part too, because I've never been part of the actual conference. I've never gone to it, but now I just had this urge this time to go and we're going to do it. And it's going to be crazy because we're meeting people out there. Whoever's going to be out there, we're actually like inviting people to come meet us up and actually like get together with people who have the same passion, understand the new world that's happening. And it does feel like we're not just, I do care about it more because I have this community. It does feel like I care about it more because of the entire community, because we're all part of it. Yeah. I didn't even realize that was an underlying, you know, thought that I had, because I'm like, I always cared about Bitcoin since I found out about it.
Yeah, when I started making these videos, people would comment like, just things I wouldn't expect. I was not expecting people to comment with my videos and stuff. And like now, I think it was last night, everybody had tagged, I had like 9 people tag me in Natalie Brunell's post about needing somebody to make
that's awesome.
Factual information into compelling visuals or something. And I ended up messaging her. She hasn't messaged back, which we'll see, but she ended up following me and I'm just like, this is one of the people that orange pilled me, you know?
That's amazing. So she's looking at your stuff.
Yeah, it's just crazy. It's like, how did this even happen? I just went from speaking my mind and like, I'm a very quiet person out in public. I'm a plumber and I don't mind talking to somebody one-on-one, but being in a crowded room and stuff, I'm always the quietest person in the room. But like, I'll talk to every single customer every day and find, it's usually when I bring up the price because plumbers are expensive and they're like, why is it so much? And I'm like, because the government keeps printing money.
That's awesome.
Tell them.
That's so true, though.
So it leads me into a conversation where I can maybe try to talk to him about Bitcoin, but I get laughed out the door a lot
about it,
still by the normies and stuff. And I'm like, okay, whatever. And they're like, I'm like, it's the top performing asset of the past 16 years. I had like nine people tag me on one of her posts, and I thought about messaging her, but I didn't message her until she followed me, because I was like, there's no way.
So be proud of that. That's amazing, because that means, you know, you caught her attention. Thank you so much. I cannot wait to post this. And that is literally the reason why I started ramping up my posting, because every time I talk to somebody, I'm like, this was my best episode yet. You know, so it's like, I can't wait to share yours, because it was incredible. Yeah. And I can't wait till more people see it. I would love to spread the message and share. We're also going to have a new Bitcoin Army website soon, and you're going to be featured on there. So the more voices that join, you know, the Army, the more amplified that's going
to
get.
Real quick to the Army. I love all of you guys. Thank you all for your support. Sorry, I'm not as active in that community as I should be.
Do you know, I have a tab open with a whole bunch of stuff that I was going to ask you, like in order, I prepared for this and I didn't look at it one time. So it's like, I feel like it went better than if I did have a list of topics and stared at them. So, so I like that. I like that I can, you know, just talk to you guys and feel like you guys are, make me feel comfortable. So it's like, I don't have to be nervous thinking, oh my gosh, I have to have a plan because I'm scared. So thank you. Have a great day. And I'll let you know when I post this video. So nice talking to you.
You too. Sounds good. Thanks, Stacey.
Great. Thank you.